Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Susan Bida, the co-founder of eCareDiary.com and your host for today's show. So today we're focusing on enhancing the travel experience for aging loved ones. And we have Melissa Kahn joining us to discuss this very important topic, especially with the holidays coming around the corner. So with an aging population and people living longer, we're all examining things that bring us joy and ways to add to our quality of life. So for many of us caregivers, traveling, visiting friends, loved ones, and leaving home for extended periods of time is key. And while traveling can be exciting and fun for some, for others living with chronic health conditions, it can certainly be a challenge. So today we're going to talk about how to enhance that experience and gain some tips on how to consider when traveling with aging loved ones living with a chronic condition. So we have, I'm very pleased to introduce Melissa Kahn. She's the principal and owner of Kahn Healthcare Consulting, LLC. This is an organization that works with organizations and families, helping them navigate the aging journey. Melissa serves on the advisory boards for Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. This is in the area of cognitive neurology and Alzheimer's Disease Center, Chicago, and she's also on the advisory board for LA Caregiver Magazine. In 2006, Melissa wrote and published the Personal Healthcare Passport, which is a practical tool for caregivers to better manage important health and medical information across the continuum of care. Melissa, thanks so much for coming back and talking to us about this important topic.
Thank you, Susan. I'm glad to be back.
So
it's an important topic, you're right, to talk about. You started off by mentioning people are looking at examining ways to enhance quality of life, and for many of us, that means traveling and visiting friends and family. And when I work with clients and I work with families, I often tell them that really key to enhancing the travel experience is having a good plan in place, having realistic expectations, anticipating the needs of their loved ones, and being flexible. You know, just because somebody is living with a chronic condition, it shouldn't prevent them from traveling to see loved ones, going to new destinations, and having new experiences.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, and I think many of us who are listening out there who are in the role of caregiving are probably thinking, what a concept to travel with someone who is diagnosed with a chronic condition. So why don't we just dive in and tell us what you think that we should think about before making travel arrangements for ourselves and a loved one. Let's take Alzheimer's, for example. And so when we're making arrangements for ourselves and let's say we're caring for someone with Alzheimer's, what should we be thinking about before those arrangements?
When planning a trip, it's really important to think about the purpose of the trip. Is this a trip about relaxing somewhere, going on a tour, visiting a faraway destination, or visiting friends and family? If the purpose of the trip is to go to a faraway destination, it's important to talk with your treating physicians to be sure they advise that travel is okay and that if it's fine with them, is overseas advisable. Be sure to ask your doctors if inoculations are required and are there any concerns about interactions with current medications and other things that you may have to take after getting inoculated. If you're traveling with someone who has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, congestive heart failure, or Alzheimer's, it's really key to plan ahead. I think part of that is really thinking about ordering supplies in advance, having them delivered to the final destination to minimize carrying extra baggage. Work with your local medical supply company, for example, to order supplies like oxygen or an electric wheelchair. Some airlines won't allow you to bring those things on board, like an oxygen tank, so it's really important to find out in advance what you need. when dealing with getting to and from different gates. It's also important to ask for travel assistance between the flights to minimize confusion and the need to rush. Again, especially for somebody dealing with Alzheimer's, we want to make this as seamless as possible and minimize any kind of triggers. So ask the flight attendants for assistance and permission to board early so that you don't have to rush. Ask them if you can have seats that are in the aisle so that if you need to take your loved one to a restroom, there's easy access. For some of my clients, they even consider sending their luggage via FedEx or UPS in advance so they don't even have to worry about check-in or have to worry about carrying luggage or worrying about it getting lost. The goal, especially when you're traveling with somebody with memory loss, again, is to minimize the stressors and to make this as seamless as possible. The most important thing is if you do ship your luggage or send it, make sure to carry your medications with you. Don't pack them. Again, for people with living with memory loss like Alzheimer's, you want to reduce the stressors. So the other thing I tell families is try to avoid telling them too far in advance about the trip. People can get agitated and worrisome if they know too much information in advance. So in this case, less is always more. And consider waiting until the day of the trip to let them know. Have a favorite outfit laid out in the bed, ready to go, and an extra pair of, like, undergarments just to go with, just in case. You know, these kinds of little tricks will make a difference. Another tip I tell families living with loved ones who have cognitive impairment is to bring a bag of goodies. And by that I mean bring a small bag that has playing cards. Maybe there's a small puzzle you play at home. A photo album that's small that you can look at, reminisce, and pass the time talking about family stories. Another good tip is to have an iPod or an electrical device loaded with hours of your favorite music and or books on tape or movies. This can be a wonderful distraction, especially if you're going overseas or on long flights. And again, the key is to really minimize stressors and outside interference. When traveling, it's also
Melissa,
important.
Let me interrupt you a second. Mm-hmm. So I'm really very intrigued about this concept of taking a loved one who has memory loss issues on a trip. So I'm not sure if this is in your area of expertise, but is this encouraged by many physicians treating patients with memory loss, Alzheimer's, dementia?
I think the key here is that each person living with a memory loss or a cognitive impairment like an Alzheimer's is one person with that disease. Families know that person best, and it's always a good idea, again, to run this by the physicians that you're working with to get their advice. A lot of families do travel. The reality is people living with an Alzheimer's type disease can live years without having major symptoms that will really impact their quality of life. So slight memory loss or name confusion wouldn't prevent them from traveling. It just means being prepared and having your ducks in a row.
Right, that certainly makes sense. And, you know, with we've had guests on this show discussing, you know, the influence of arts and music and as ways to stimulate the brain. And it would seem to me that travel would be another form of stimulation and, a therapeutic, very therapeutic for patients suffering from memory loss, I would think.
Well,
this is a great topic,
It can be stressful because we know that for people that are living with a cognitive impairment, routine is very important. So travel already disrupts the apple cart. It's taking them out of their routine. So the key is to bring things along that are part of their daily life that provide consistency, and that's why I say if somebody was, a board game player or played cards or loved listening to music, bring the things along that are comforting and not stressors, because it'll minimize agitation and the triggers for them to become agitated. The other thing is if somebody is traveling overseas or on a long flight with a person who has memory loss, I often tell them to share this information with the flight attendants, because if your loved one needs to walk, they have a need to get up and move, let them know. Walk with them. Oftentimes, right. If, the light belt, the seatbelt light is off, they will tell people they can get up and walk. And if the flight attendants know that this is something that's important to this person, that it minimizes agitation, they will accommodate you.
And, you know, this is a good thing to know because I can tell you that on flights that I have been on with my own children, they really don't allow, these are on the particular flights that I've been on, just, you know, for example, traveling south to Florida, they don't allow you to stand up and walk around anymore. And I'm not sure exactly where that stems from, if it's a safety issue or what, but it used to be that you could. So perhaps, if we call the airlines in advance and ask for that special provision, maybe that can be accommodated.
Right. I think, again, a key is planning ahead, calling the airline, letting family members know if you're traveling with a group of people. Sometimes having a loved one in the middle of the aisle with other family members around, it helps to make it easier for them. Again, the key is to minimize stress, and having
right.
a good plan in place is important. It's also important to distract them during the flight. So having a conversation, looking at a photo album, talking about, mm-hmm. Visits you've had previously, just so they're distracted, or telling stories and listening to music. If they have a particular type of music that they like and you've got hours of that in an iPod, someone can close their eyes and relax and listen to the music.
Right. Well, these are all very, very, very good tips. Thank you, Melissa. Let's talk about the conversation before traveling with healthcare professionals. So, even if the senior is active and healthy, I suppose, your advice is to certainly speak with healthcare professionals. And what are sort of the main issues you think we should be focusing on?
Well, I think even before that, after you talk to your care team about things to consider, it's important to ask them, do they have a name of a doctor in a hospital in the destination you're going to, so you have that as a resource in case there is an emergency?
Mm.
Can they
mm-hmm.
write extra prescriptions for you, so you have written prescriptions in case for some reason you were to lose the ones you have? It's important to ask them, are there things to consider with time changes about medications? Should you adjust your medications because you're traveling overseas? Be mindful that, again, we want to keep routine as normal as possible, but there are things to ask them. You might want to also ask them if they would advise wearing support hose to prevent clots during a flight. Sometimes if people are traveling long distance, or if they have congestive heart failure, if they have other health issues, that's something to consider. I oftentimes tell families it's a good idea. We know this with children, but the same thing can happen with adults. When we're stressed and we're a little anxious, sometimes our stomach can be disturbed. And I tell people, bring an extra pair of undergarments and disposable wipes with you, because in case there's an accident, to minimize embarrassment and stress to that person, you can easily take care of that when you're on a flight or on a cruise or traveling someplace. It just helps to minimize the stressors. Doctors can talk to you about medications to consider or food restrictions when you're traveling. What I do want to talk to you about is if you're traveling to a new destination, one of the things that I tell clients, it's important to consider travel insurance. Now, there's comprehensive insurance plans that usually cover accidents, illness, missed flights, lost luggage, theft, cancellation, terrorism, emergency evacuations, and in some cases, if there is death, transporting a body. Before purchasing medical insurance, it's important to check with your current company to find out if you're covered overseas or out of state. If they say that you are, make sure to get a letter in writing stating that you are covered to keep that, so that if later on there was a question about a claim, you have a written document from your carrier indicating that you're covered. It's also important to talk to your insurance agent to find out if there's anything else you should consider. Just be aware that Medicare does not usually cover overseas.
Wow. So this travel insurance is, I'm not sure about everyone else, but it's kind of a new concept for me. I would imagine, they would probably ask many questions about the person traveling. And their health status, I would imagine, right?
Right. When you contact, you can either places to start are with your the Automobile Association, AAA, or with AARP.
Right.
Oftentimes, those organizations, museum organizations, professional organizations, mm-hmm. do provide that. You have to ask about it, but many of them will tell you, oh, by the way, we do provide travel insurance. But important when you're talking to an agent is to find out, compared to your own health insurance, what's already covered and what's not. They
yeah.
will ask questions about current health conditions. But for short-term travel, it's advisable because things happen. And
right.
so that you're not putting money, you know, bringing money out of pocket, it's important to be prepared and have that in advance.
I'm glad you raised that because I'm sure many people will probably look into that now. I certainly will because that's something that I hadn't thought about before, which is travel insurance, and it makes a lot of sense, especially if we're traveling out of the country.
And especially, too, if you're traveling out of the country and there is a medical emergency and you need to be airlifted or evacuated, these policies cover
right.
that so that you don't have to worry about paying out of pocket. And I tell
mm-hmm.
people, when you travel, bring a copy of those policies with you. Make sure to leave a copy with a loved one at home. For some reason, your items were stolen and you can't find it, they have a copy. The other thing I tell
right.
people, when you travel, take a photograph of your passport and your driver's license. And if you can, put it on your iPhone or on your smartphone. That way, if that item were to be lost or stolen, and you had to go to an embassy, you wouldn't have to worry about running back to the hotel to get a copy that you had that you had put there. You'd have it on your phone with you to go right away to an embassy. Key is to minimize stressors and to make sure that we're
right.
being prepared in advance.
Wow, what a great idea! So, taking a photo of your passport and what else did you mention? The
driver's license.
The driver's license. Great.
Correct.
Well, great tips. Thank you for sharing those. So are there any, things that we should be considering, aside from things that we've discussed so far with regards to airlines, airports, ships,
yes.
you'd like to share with us?
For
you
your
listeners. Quite a lot.
For family caregivers, it's important, again, when you're planning this, think about selecting hotels and cruises that are really age-friendly, that really take in consideration an older population. Make sure when you're looking at those, consider the location. When you book a room, ask them if you can be close to an elevator, in an area where it's handicap accessible, close to an emergency exit, and in a no-smoking area. While having a balcony can be a romantic idea, being on a ship, it can also be a potential hazard, especially for someone living with Alzheimer's. So a person can get confused in the middle of the night expecting to get up to go to the restroom, walking out to a balcony, and an accident can happen.
Yeah.
So consider talking to the staff about changing rooms so that you don't have balconies. You can also ask staff at hotels and ships about getting night lights for the restrooms and door alarms. This will help to trigger another loved one to let them know that someone's getting up to go walking to make sure that they don't wander off. If you can, and if you wear an identification bracelet, bring that with you while you're traveling, or bring your personal health care passport or a folder that has your information with vital information with you. It's important, and the reason I say that is if something does happen, it's very hard in a stressful situation, especially if you're out of the country, to remember important details. This will help to minimize your stress and to make sure that critical time isn't lost relaying information. It's also important to consider for you and your loved one, if they're dealing with a serious illness, do you want to bring a health care proxy and a living will with you? They may not always be honored in other locations, but if you have it, at least it designates your wishes and they're more likely to honor those. So that's a consideration to do as well. When people travel, again, key is being flexible, being open to new ideas, but thinking ahead and really anticipating things. So that means simplifying activities, avoiding crowds, avoiding situations that require memorization, especially for somebody who's dealing with a memory issue. Be mindful of your energy level and the best times of day that you can go and maximize your visits. Consider water breaks. Be sure that you're hydrating. Bring snacks and schedule bathroom breaks. You know, when we're on a tour, sometimes we're so excited and so busy running around, we forget to think about those. So I tell people, plan that. Put together a little itinerary that you bring with you and ask the guide or ask a hotel, ask a cruise, or ask family members if you're visiting them, can you let us know where the restrooms are, because we want to make sure we have breaks when we need them. And take your cues from your loved ones. Be mindful of their nonverbal cues. If you see that they're exhausted or they're overwhelmed, consider taking a break. You know, we always have to kind of readjust our expectations. Sometimes we think it's going to be a good day and we can do a lot, but you find out it's not. So, again, you've got to be flexible. If somebody's dealing with a bowel and bladder issue, again, going to the restroom on a regular schedule is important. And in some countries, you need to have coins to use a restroom. So be prepared and have the coins available. Consider bringing disposable wipes, not only because sometimes toilet paper has to be purchased, but there might not be sinks for washing up afterwards, and having disposable wipes can come in handy. So those are a few of the tips.
Just a few. These are great. No, this is a wonderful checklist, Melissa, and thank goodness we have this show available to our audience in archives. So if you missed anything, you can certainly listen to the show again. And Melissa will be on our expert panel, so I'm sure she'll be writing about many of these things on our site very soon. So, Melissa, what are some don'ts when traveling? You gave us a lot of do's. Is there anything we shouldn't do when we're traveling?
Well, I'd rather give you more of the do's than the don'ts, but let me give you a few more of the do's. You know, ask for travel discounts. You'd be surprised at how many locations will provide discounts for people over the age of 50. Contact your museum memberships or travel organizations. Don't be afraid to ask for discounts, assistance, early boarding, easy access. You know, if you have dietary restrictions, you're on a kosher diet or you follow halal, or you're on a sodium-free diet or you're vegetarian, don't be afraid to ask the airlines, the cruise ships or hotels to order meals in advance. Today more than ever, they're in the business of servicing people, and they want to make sure that your trip is comfortable. Those are things that can be ordered in advance. And oftentimes not at an extra charge. Do have a care plan in case of an emergency. Carry an emergency card in your wallet with the names and the numbers of loved ones and the doctors that are involved in your care and your loved ones' care. Things happen, and if somebody were to find you, that would make a huge difference in time. So carrying an emergency card. And we talked about already about photographing your license and passport. That's so important because, if time is of the essence and you're trying to get to either a bank or to an embassy or to, another location for replacement of tickets, like an airline ticket, at least by having that on your phone, you've got your identification and you're making the time a little bit easier to get everything processed.
Great. No, Melissa, thank you so much. This has been terrific, and certainly all of these things seem to reduce the probability of stress during the trip and make for, I think, a more prepared trip with our loved ones. So thank you again. It's been always a pleasure having you as a guest, and I want to let everyone know that if you're interested in learning more about Melissa Khan, her website is khanhealthcare.com, Khan being spelled K-A-H-N, healthcare.com, all one word. I'd like to thank our audience very much for tuning in this week. I'd like to invite you to join us next week on Tuesday, October 29th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our second online show called Caregiver and Physician Conversations. This is a show hosted by our caregiving expert, Marjorie Paft, who will interview Dr. Kesavan Kuti from the American College of Physicians about practical tips to getting to the root cause and beyond symptoms in general for chronic illnesses and issues that we're dealing with when caring for a loved one with a chronic illness. So to learn more about this show, you can visit our site, ecarediary.com, and in the content section we have a listing of all the various programs we have available, radio shows, webinars, and it's all under the content section. Visit ecarediary.com, and you can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We always post about our upcoming shows and events, so thank you very much for joining us. Melissa, thank you again. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to having you join us as an expert on the site.
Thank you, Susan. I hope your listeners and caregivers and families living with chronic conditions continue to travel and have a bon voyage.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Take care.